Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for the Daily Gizwiz is provided by Winamp. Subscribe to the Daily Gizwiz and all your favorite podcasts with the ultimate media player. Download it for free at winamp.com. Video bandwidth for the Daily Gizwiz is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. It's time for the Daily Gizwiz with Mads, maddest writer, Dick DiBartolo. This is episode 1137 for Tuesday, July 20th, 2010, the iPhone 4.
Now, get ready for Dick.
Hey, it's Dick DiBartolo, Mads, Maddest Friday, and the Gizwiz. One day a week, Leo finds something that no one else has said a word about in all of history. And today's that day when he uncovers something one's even heard of on Turn the Table Tuesday.
Good to see you. Here we
Hawaii.
Are.
Hawaii. No, I'm in New York, Leo.
Hawaii. It's so nice to see you. So once again, you and I are going to do a Turn the Tables Tuesday. Of course, you said I would have something no one has talked about. And in fact, I do. I have the very first review anyone has ever done of the brand new Apple iPhone 4. Never before seen. Yes, the 4.
Holy cow.
The 4. Never before seen. This is it. Notice I have it in the case. You may wonder, why does he have it in the case? Because otherwise.
Right past the 2 and the 3.
Yes. I have the 2 and the 3. I have the 1. You wanted me to do a review of the 1?
No. Save right that for next week when you can't find something.
In fact, let me get back here.
If you want, let's compare. What do you say?
Oh, that's a very good
let's
idea.
Let's compare. I'm going to pull out. I've got the 4 here. And I've got the 1 here. This is the original iPhone. Remember, it had an aluminum case. They've replaced the aluminum back with a plastic back on later iPhones with glass. You'll also see that the camera's in the same place, but it now has an LED flash. It's only 1. Some phones, like the Evo, have 2, which does, in fact, give you better,
Detroit
more even light.
2.
Yeah. 1 is at least better than none, and it does an okay job. In fact, I'll show you right now. I have a picture that I took with the iPhone 4 and its flash. I posted it on Buzz. I was walking down the street last night. Jennifer and I went to see a movie. By the way, not recommended. Grown Ups, Adam Sandler's new movie. Did you see it?
How did you get trapped into that?
Horrible movie. And I like, you know, Adam I know is a mixed bag. But lately he's done stuff like Funny People. Well, that was a good movie. This was not a good movie. Was not very funny. That was the problem. It was like they thought, oh, if we just put 5 comics together,
yes,
it'll be funny. Yeah. And it wasn't. So you saw it too, huh?
No, I just read the reviews.
You knew.
Did you ever check out Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah. I should have gone there first. Well, it was the only show we could see. We were eating dinner. And we said, well, anyway. So, but as I was walking to the theater, I saw this backpacker who had a cat. On his backpack.
Oh, my word.
So there's the flash. It's not a bad picture, actually.
That is not bad at all.
But you see, a single flash doesn't get, you know, it's a little hot in spots. Yeah. And some
red eye. Also, this is 12 noon, so I mean.
Right. Well, but, you know, the thing about having a good camera, and by the way, the iPhone 4 has a good camera, 5-megapixel camera. It's the best I've ever used in a camera phone. The thing about having it in a phone is you have it with you. And I didn't have a camera with me, but I couldn't believe this guy was carrying this cat on his backpack. The timing was perfect. So I got a great picture that I wouldn't have had otherwise because I had it in the phone. So one point I really like about the new iPhone, it is a very solid camera phone, probably the best I've used. And I've used them, you know, the Droid has a good camera. I really like the camera in the Nexus One. This is, I would say, the best I've ever used. So points for that, points for having a flash. It is beautiful. You know, having a glass on the front and the back really makes it a work of art.
Well, Leo, does it shoot video?
It does, 720p video, and it's quite good. Okay. The video is quite good. I can show you a little bit of video I shot earlier today.
But you had a video of the guy with the cat chasing you down the street.
Yeah, yeah. As a matter of fact, that's right, I do. Let me see here. Here's some little artichoke pictures I took. There's some lavender. I mean, it's really, I think it's a beautiful camera.
You never can have too many artichoke pictures.
Here's a picture of a fire. I thought, that's a beautiful fireplace. I'm just going to shoot that. And one of the reasons I did it is because the iPhone, for $5 extra, now supports iMovie. They have an iMovie built in, right? So now I can take my videos that I shoot on the iPhone and edit them on the iPhone, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
iMovie on the iPhone, a little bit buggy. They've released a fix that makes it a little bit better. But
also, Leo, in the winter, you could put that in your glove box.
Keep myself warm. Yeah.
And tell people you have a little fireplace.
Now, it has a front-facing camera, too. And that's kind of one of the interesting things if you're using the camera.
You ever think about getting your teeth whitened?
You can. This is a picture I took with the front-facing camera. Well, this is kind of neat. So there's two cameras. There's a back camera and there's a front one. And with the front-facing camera, you could take a picture of yourself and see the picture. All you have to do, it's very simple on the interface for the camera. You just press the reverse, and there it is. There's the front-facing camera, and you can take a picture of yourself like this. Hi. And then you got a great picture of yourself that you took with the front-facing camera. You press the button again, and it flips over and uses the higher quality. The front-facing is only 640 by 480, about 1 megapixel, 1.3 megapixels. The back camera is 5 megapixels.
I'm surprised a person who's so camera-shy like you even likes that feature.
I know. Yeah, I know. How many times? Hi there. You good-looking fella. Good. Yes, I know. Yeah, pretty damn good looking, aren't I? So, so that's a nice feature. I like the camera. I like the front facing camera. The other reason there's a front facing camera is so you can make FaceTime calls. Now, FaceTime is basically like Skype. It's video phone calls. The problem is you can only do it in Wi-Fi, and you can only do it to other iPhone 4 people. That's kind of a limitation. Although there's a new program, actually it's not new, but it's just available now on the iPhone, called Fring, that lets you make video calls using the front-facing camera to other Fring users on Evos, on Nokia phones, on other iPhones, and it lets you do it over 3G as well, which is really nice. I don't know how Apple allowed this in the store. As soon as they figure it out, it'll probably be gone. But that is at least it. Now you can make FaceTime calls to more than just other iPhone users. Now you'll notice the screen, and I think this is really the strongest feature of the new iPhone. It's got this Retina display that Steve Jobs was talking about. 134 pixels per inch. That's about, 70 more pixels per inch than the old iPhone. Too bad the battery's dead on the old iPhone. I could put them side by side and you could see. It is a big difference. The screen is one of those IPS screens, that like the ones they use on the iPad, so you could turn it side on its side and you still get a great image. There's something to be said for that. It also is very, very crisp because you have so many dots per inch. Pictures just really look good. The text is very legible. Amazon has released a Kindle application, for instance, on the iPhone, and it really is quite easy to read on the iPhone, that's pretty neat.
Wow, that is amazing.
Yeah, and if you use the Kindle application on the iPhone will sync up with your Kindle. You can read books that you have bought on the Kindle itself, but you can also read books that you've bought on your iPad or other iPhones or Android devices. So that's a nice feature. And when you have the really high quality text, you can't really see it very well on this image. Let me see if I can bring it a little bit closer to the camera, and you can see it's really,
dude, that's not bad at all.
Very legible. It's almost like looking at text on paper. So kudos to Apple for where I would say the crispest, certainly the highest res screen out there. Will be interesting to compare this to the Super AMOLED screens that Samsung's putting out with its new Galaxy S line. I like OLED screens a lot, and the new AMOLED screens are supposed to be beautiful and bigger, four inches, but not as high resolution. Other new features on the phone, it's a much faster, they don't talk about this as much, but it's a much faster processor, 50% faster. It's a full gigahertz. and which is as fast. It's the same processor, the A4 that's on the iPad, and has twice the memory of the iPad. 256 on the iPad, 512 megs of RAM on the new iPhone 4. That means it's very snappy. And you really see it when you run applications that are processor intensive, like the photo stitching apps or the photo modification apps. It really is very snappy. Really, really works quite well.
And have you had any of those antenna problems?
Well, that's the good. Now let's talk about the bad. Yeah, the antenna problem is very, very real. If I hold the phone firmly in my left hand, which I do all the time because I'm a lefty, it goes from 5 bars to no bars in about 30 seconds. That's very frustrating. Oh, wow. I have had dropped calls. Apple says, and AT&T says, and I think it's probably true, that and people have measured it, agree, that the iPhone is the most sensitive iPhone ever, the least likely to drop calls, even if you hold it wrong. They have improved it. This external steel band around the iPhone is actually the antenna for wireless calling, 3G, and Wi-Fi. So the problem is that when you put your hand over it, it blocks it. And, you know, it's like holding an antenna on the older phones. You just get a worse signal. Apple's fix for this? Well, they're just going to change how they calculate the bars. So it doesn't drop as fast. It doesn't fix anything. It's just cosmetic.
Okay.
I don't think that's...
Well, you know what? I got a call from Frederic who said that I was getting a raise. And I said... Frederic, really? She said, well, we just recalculated the cost of living and we decided that we were pegging it on too high a cost of living. So
right.
Basically, the check is the same, but in our minds, you really are doing 30% better.
Yeah.
So I guess it's the Apple theory that.
Yeah. Basically, we're giving you a cosmetic raise.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And it's the same thing with this. Should that stop you from buying the iPhone? Well, if you're in a marginal area or you experience a lot of dropped calls on AT&T anyway, yes. You do have 30 days to return it, and Apple's quick to point that out. Look, at the iPhone's notorious for dropping calls. I don't think it's an AT&T problem as much as it's an iPhone problem.
Can't you just put, Leo, go to Staples and buy a huge rubber band and put it around the rim?
You can. In fact, Tom Merritt... on our news show, Tech News Today, our daily news show, put a LiveStrong bracelet around it. It worked really well.
Oh, gee, that's great.
But the thicker the case, the better. It's not insulation so much. It's just moving your hand away from this left side. So, you know, the truth is... An oven mitt would be the best. The truth is, if you're in a strong signal area, it's going to be fine. Yes, you will attenuate the signal a little bit, but it still is better than the other iPhones have been. Yes, it will slow down your 3G reception. John Gruber proved that in his Daring Fireball blog, but it's still better than other iPhones. It's an overall improvement with a little bit of a caveat. There are other bugs. For instance, the iPhone was the first to have a proximity sensor. That I always thought was very cool. Where you know, when you're talking on the iPhone and you pull up the phone to your ear, it's really important that the screen turn off. Otherwise, you might accidentally dial a number, accidentally hit mute. And on older iPhones, it worked really great. You put it up to your ear, and the thing turns off. And the screen turns off. I just did it with this, and notice it's not working. And it's been intermittent with me. And the problem with that is I've muted calls. I've been talking to somebody, and they say, hello. Hello? And I'm going, hello? And they can't hear me and hang up on me. Or worse, I've accidentally dialed touch tones and send those annoying loud sounds down the line. This screen is supposed to turn off when you hold it to your ear. And in not on all cases, many people don't report this problem, but a number of cases it's happened. I've tried the fixes that Apple suggests, including resetting your network settings. It hasn't fixed it. I think Apple's going to have to ship an upgrade to iOS 4 that fixes this problem. Obviously, it's going to change the antenna calculation, make it look better. There are a few other little glitches. Some people reported yellow spots on the screen. Oh, it looks like I dialed a number accidentally. Is there a 666-968-336 in the world? No. That was by holding it up to my ear. So you can see the problem with a faulty proximity sensor. I think that's pretty serious. All in all, I love the iPhone 4. I'll probably keep using it because I love the applications and I really adore the screen. I like having a good camera phone in my pocket. But it's a little bit of a disappointment. This is not a shining success for Apple. There's some significant flaws in the iPhone 4. And if you're at all on the fence, I'd say hold off, wait till Apple fixes it, or take a look at the Droid X, which you've reviewed, or some of the other great Android phones that are coming out. There's some very, very good choices.
Yeah, there's
out
a lot of stuff coming. You're right. Yeah.
And there are rumors.
I like the fact that it comes with a little bit of caviar. That was good, too.
Well, yeah, and it's gold-plated, but still.
Still.
At that price. You know, one of the things people are starting to talk.
What is the price?
$200 for the 16-gig version, $300 for the 32-gig version, with a two-year AT&T new activation. You may have an upgrade you should check.
What does your plan cost?
Well, and that's the problem with all smartphones. You're talking about at least $80 or $90 a month. So over the life of the phone, this is well over $2,000 for 2 years. And so smartphones are more expensive than a computer in some ways, aren't they?
They're very smart for the phone company.
Yeah, so that's who's smart. They're making a lot of money off of this. You know, T-Mobile has gotten much more aggressive in its pricing because they're kind of an also-ran. You might take a look at T-Mobile's Everything Plus plan, which has no month, you know, it's month to month, has no contract, and has, I think, a better deal. Sprint, too, has a flat rate pricing fee that may save you money. So shopping around will help, and that's another problem with the iPhone. AT&T only. Rumors are that we're going to see an iPhone on Verizon in January. Maybe yes, maybe no. I wouldn't hold your breath. If you can't live with AT&T, if AT&T is not strong in your area, I think the iPhone is not the right choice for you. It's good, though, if you're in a strong AT&T area, you get good signal. I think, in many ways, a big improvement over previous iPhones. Just be aware of those caveats. So that's my review of the iPhone 4.
I think that sounds
mixed.
Good.
It's
for
mixed.
A man who couldn't find something, you just did 23 minutes.
It's mixed. It's not 100%. You know?
No, I know. But I think that's a very good review.
One of the reasons I wanted to wait and not do this the day I got it, it's been a couple of weeks now, I really wanted to live with this. And only this phone, I put away my Nexus 1. I just wanted to say, what would it be like to use this full time? And except for those little problems, it's been a good phone, and I'm still a little bit on the fence. I think I'm going to continue to carry this as my primary phone, but I'm going to have to wait when the Droid X, you know, as we record this, the Droid X hasn't come out yet. I think it's supposed to come out today as this podcast come out. Oh, actually, no, it came out the 15th. And today, this is the one I'm very interested in, the Samsung Galaxy S. On T-Mobile, I have a T-Mobile plan with my Nexus 1. I might upgrade the Nexus 1 to that new Samsung Galaxy S for the T-Mobile. What do they call it? Let me just check. They have the Galaxy S is on a number of different carriers.
Different carriers.
Yeah, Activate, yeah. Captivate, and on the T-Mobile platform, they're calling it the Vibrant. And it looks pretty nice. So we'll see. We'll see. That's it, Dick. Are you ready for a letter?
Yes, you have one.
I have one, thanks to you.
Here come the letters. Those lovely letters. Here come the kids with letters. Now...
I love this letter. I thank you for forwarding it along to me from Robert Sudock. He sent it to you. He is assistant chief engineer retired at Metro Media and KTTV 11 in Hollywood. So this guy knows his TV, his Hollywood history. It's delightful to watch you and Leo work together and wander so far afield and then gather it back in, he writes. It's very reminiscent of table reads. You know what a table? You know what a table read is?
Yeah, oh yeah, table read. Yeah.
When they have
first
a sitcom,
time everybody gets together.
They'll get together with the entire cast and the script, and they'll sit around a table and they'll read through it. Or camera blocking—something few outsiders are ever exposed to. The difference here, Robert, is we actually air this crap.
That's exactly right.
That's
the table read is the show.
Yeah,
and there is no table read. We just turn on a camera. Talk in 20-minute blocks, cut them into 5 pieces,
and we're done. Then we go home. We go home, we collect a paycheck, we're done. It's a beautiful life. So he sent a link. He said the clip of Paul Frees, we were talking about Paul Frees, the guy who did the voice. I mistakenly said he was the voice of Tony the Tiger. That's not true, but he's the guy who did the voice of the Haunted House and the Pillsbury Doughboy, many other great things. And the discussion of voice actors gave me an idea. Time to beat Leo at his own game. He said, drive over to...
I shouldn't have forwarded it to you. Sorry about that.
You're going to beat me at my own game. TV musicmuseum.com. Well, see, Dick can't play sounds back from the computer like I can.
That's why I sent it
to you. I have to do it. He said, this will take you to the J. Ward section of the TV Music Museum with production music and outtakes from the recording sessions. Oh, my God. I can't wait.
And we all know what J. Ward is famous for.
Rocky and Bullwinkle. This is episodes 340 and 341. J. Ward, June Foray, who was Rocky. And June does so many other voices. Paul Frees, he's Boris Badenoff. Walter Tetley, Dawes Butler, who was another one of the greats. And Bill Scott. There are also match game things here, so I want to check that out. Ed Kalahoff and Score Productions music cues for other GNT shows, network art cards, etc. Did you know about this website?
No, I didn't. I knew about Score Music because that was the Goodson Todman musical branch, but I did not know about this website.
This is an amazing site, Television Production Music Museum. So let me just play a little bit of this. This is Rocky and Bullwinkle. I guess these are kind of outtakes here from the show and from the voice acting and so forth. See if I can get this back to the beginning here. Oh, that's the closing music. I love that. Remember that? Now, here's the outtakes.
Oh, dude.
I love this show. I grew up watching this show. Very, again, like Mad Magazine, very adult humor that kids love, too.
Eventually will be episode 337, take one.
Hans Conried.
But first, the inimitable Buddy Green.
Hans Conried read the fractured fairy tales.
Howdy, right, folks. Right, I used to have fat jokes.
The inimitable Dale Robertson. All right, here we go.
Howdy.
Spoke magic or bell.
This is Shanghai, China, a city that has given our heroes a few bad moments. For instance, they started out to go...
back to the top.
His deck! Grab him!
Well, you just don't gallivant about the deck of a stinking...
I'm so glad they saved these.
Well, you just don't gallivant about the deck of a sinking junk and don't lose your footing.
Not.
And don't lose your footing? I'll do the dialect.
All right.
Well, you just don't gallivant about the deck of a sinking junk and not lose your footing.
Whoa!
Seconds later, everyone was stroking for the mainland.
We're going to go any second.
B.
This is it.
So
339, take one.
Okay, baby, that's my man. Not a baby boy, right there. There he is. I'll tell you, when we get rid of that Greek governor we got down there, we're going to put old J-Baby in there. He's going to be our new governor. Right?
Like most
Americans, the folks in Frostbite Falls, Minnesota, rely heavily on their television sets. Not just for eating off of, but for the evening news.
80,000 men a year. And now here's tonight's cutie. Creighton Finney of Butte Falls fell into an open manhole, was swept down the Colorado River, and came out 30 days later in the Pacific Ocean. Oddly enough, Mr. Finney has a houseboat in the Pacific. Weather report for tomorrow. Clear, cloudy skies with gusty showers and sunny late mornings following the snowstorm. And now this is...
That weather report was about as accurate as one dared to get. For in Frostbite Falls, you never knew what it was...
I love this. And as somebody who grew up watching this show, it's just really fun.
You know what? I went to a party that Jay Ward threw. And the party was at Coney Island.
Oh, wow.
And he rented a train. He rented an old-fashioned subway train, and all the press had to meet the train at 42nd Street, like at 5:30, and then the train went through, and he had beer on board. It was just wild. He was just crazy. He was like a Bill Gaines type.
Where are all those guys? Is anybody
it's
left
not
like
unlike
that?
Twit. Not unlike Twit, where you take the cast out and shoot stuff at them
right
on holiday.
Right, yeah. Right. But they didn't tie you up, did they?
No,
that's something we've added.
I think that live ammunition thing is working out to keep the budget down, though.
I think so. Look at all the tracks on this site. This is a great site. So I want to thank Bob Sudock, assistant chief engineer retired at KTTV 11 in Hollywood. The website is tvmusicmuseum.com. And as you browse through it, you'll find so many sound effects and music cues and announcers and just really fun to take a look at this. I mean, this is a wasted evening ahead for me. I really, seriously. A lot of these are donated by people who are involved, apparently. So that's kind of neat. And you could follow them on Twitter. It's TVPMM. And I shall. Concentration, Hollywood Squares, Password. I'm kind of intrigued by the Match Game stuff. Did you ever listen to the Match Game stuff that they have?
I didn't.
We'll have to save that for another day.
Yeah,
another day.
Another day.
It's your turn tomorrow. Get back to work, sir. I'll see you then.
Be here.
D-A-I-L-Y. It's the day.